Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Sign up today for Counting Towards Sinai, an opportunity to learn a different Midah each week with renowned and beloved educators, Mrs. Dina Schoomaker, Rochama Welcher, Jacqueline Sova, Shalvi Friedman, Yael Davidowitz, and Michal Horowitz. One step, one trait, one day at a time as we count towards Sinai together. Sign up at ouwomen.org/CTS25. And now for today's Perek.
Hello and welcome to the Tarasi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian and today we'll be studying Tehillim Perek Samach 60. Israel under emerging threats as Syria's Golan faces power vacuum. Israel strikes Syria. After strikes, Syria accuses Israel of seeking to undermine quote-unquote stability. These are headlines taken from our current news cycle, but they very well could have been taken from the ancient Mesopotamian journal. Israel faces a threat, threatens to attack, attacks, and then is accused of the ones who are threatening stability and is able to secure its interests despite the protests. David HaMelech had faced threats from enemies and he went on the offensive before he needed to go on the defensive. The difference between then and now, however, is that back then we had David HaMelech making military decisions with the consultation and backing of the Sanhedrin. Today, we can't be sure that any decision that anybody makes is the right one. It's been quite a while since we've had the Urim V'Tumim or the Sanhedrin. The point is that history doesn't change that much. And I think I've mentioned this once or twice. Sorry if you're tired of hearing it by now. Is David a man of peace or a man of war? Can he be both? He's described as a warrior protecting the interests of Klal Yisrael. He's also a man of peace and justice, which is actually related to his military successes. War at times is necessary, particularly when there are countries that have our land in their crosshairs. Do we wait for the attack to defend our interests, or do we take out the threat before they actually do damage? This mizmor from David is inspired by the battles that David fought with the help of his general Yoav with Aram Naharaim and Aram Tsova, as recounted in Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Ches, in what is now Syria. As it says in the first two psukim, Lamenatzeach al Shushan Eidus, Michtam LeDavid LeLameid, and we will get to this pasuk in a moment, but first, pasuk Beis. Bahatzoso es Aram Naharaim ve'es Aram Tsova, Vayoshav Yoach vayaches Edom begei melach, shneim asar aleph. When he waged war against Aram Naharaim and Aram Tsova, Yoav returned and struck Edom and gei melach. 12,000 men from the enemy were killed, or 12,000 men of Bnei Yisrael were killed. And here Edom is combined with Aram because they joined forces. So what is Shushan Eidus? So Shushan Eidus is a nod to the Sanhedrin that is referred to as the Shoshanim, the roses or the lilies as described in Shir HaShirim. So the Mizmar begins with the Shushan Eidus. Rashi, based on the Medrash, tells us that it's a testimony, Eidus, a testimony about the Sanhedrin and their role in advising David about the military activity. David did not make a move without consulting the Sanhedrin. You can imagine a great warrior, the king of Israel. He had power and backing and every reason to avoid consultation with the Sanhedrin. Yet David consulted with them before going to battle. He wasn't swept up in the inertia of the dynamics of running the country and the pressures that he had on all fronts. As the Medrash illustrates, during one of these encounters, Aram approached Yoav as he made his way with his troops to Aram and demanded that he retreat since he is breaking the conditions of a treaty that was made between Lavan and their descendant Yaakov. One of the first Abraham peace accords. We read of this peace treaty at the end of Parshas Vayetze when Lavan catches up to Yaakov after leaving his home with his family. They set up a pile of stones. Yaakov called it Gal Eid as a testimony that there would be peace between the two families. Yoav retreated temporarily when he heard this to consult with David. And then David removed his royal robes and crown, put on his talis, and went to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin served as his spiritual pentagon. So the Sanhedrin paskin that David was indeed permitted to engage with Aram, and the peace accords were nullified, in fact, because of Aram's own actions years before. Bilam was sent to curse Bnei Yisrael, and subsequently they brought Bnei Yisrael to sin with the Midianite women, and Bilam was from Aram. And in Shoftim, we are told about Kushan Rishathaim, a formidable enemy. He was also from Aram, and he waged war against the Jewish people. So Eidos refers to the testimony that David adhered to the ruling of the Sanhedrin when it came to military activities. And the song is Lelamed, to teach us something. The battles that were mentioned in Sefer Shmuel seem to recount that David's army was successful in achieving their goals. Yet from our Perek in Tehillim, things seemed a bit dicey. David prays for help and refers to the enemy breaking the barriers and invading the land. Therefore, this could be referring to details that are filled in. The details were not mentioned in Sefer Shmuel. Possibly they were successful only after they had suffered casualties and setbacks. Alternatively, or additionally, even if David was completely successful in these battles, or it took a while for him to be successful, he looked at the victory, understanding Hashem allowed him to be victorious, then saw Baruch HaKodesh that Bnei Israel would have other enemies, particularly, says Rashi, the Romans, who would prove to be a fierce and merciless enemy. And this was a tefillah for the future of Klal Yisrael. And of course, we read this mizmor with today's headlines in mind and the current war going on since October 7th of last year. We thought it would be over sooner than later, didn't we? But God had other plans. Whether it's the ancient days of David or the days of the Roman Empire or our current land of Israel, the thought of enemies breaching borders is horrifying. Pasuk Gimel, Elokim Zenachtanu, Pratztanu, Anafta Teshovev Lanu. Hashem, you forsook us. You allowed the enemy to breach the borders and threaten us. You were angry with us. Hashem, please restore us. Teshovev Lanu. The reason the enemy was able to make a breach is because, obviously, Hashem forsook us. There was a mechitza. There was a sense of hester panim. When Klal Yisrael experienced threatening enemies, we have to say, did Hashem abandon us? Which is why we have seen such a resurgence of prayer and religion in general after October 7th. We know intuitively that if we want Hashem to shovev lanu, to restore us, by returning to us, lashuv to us, then we have to first return to Him. Each one of us must do our personal soul searching. Pasuk Dalid, here Ashta Eretz, Pitzamta, Refashivareha, Kimata. You made the land quake, you broke it, heal its fragments, because it's tottering and shaking. The land quakes with the attacking armies, the land quakes with the attacking terrorists, and the land quakes with threatening missiles, and the land itself quakes with fear. Pasuk Hey, here Isa Amcha Kasha, Hishkisanu Yayin Tar'ela. You have shown your nation hardships. You have given them to drink from the poisonous wine. We have tasted that poisonous wine, that yayin tar eila, in every generation. B'chol dar v'dar omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. And in Pasuk Vav, we state that we understand that the challenges come from Hashem, so that we are tested in order to see and determine how we will react to these circumstances. Nasata l'ri'echa neis l'hisnoseis mipnei koshet sela. You have given the ones that fear you challenges in order to wave their banner of dedication because of your truth. The Malbim explains koshet as truth, sela indicating a musical note or a pause to the transition to the next theme. But let's try to understand this pasuk and look at the word nes and koshet with all of its permutations. First of all, nes, nes lehis noseis. Both of those words are connected. Nes is a miracle, something that goes beyond the ordinary. Nes also refers to a nisayon, as Rashi tells us, which is going beyond the status quo or the ordinary. Lehis noseis is to wave a banner, which is the same shoresh as nes, miracle, and nisayon, challenge, since both miracles and challenges create a banner that proclaims something. Nisayon, a challenge, a test from Hashem, proclaims our commitment and connection to Hashem when we have passed that test. And Hashem's nisim, miracles, proclaim like a banner that Hashem controls the world. And both imply going beyond the ordinary. Man goes beyond the ordinary and deals with nisyonos, and Hashem's miracles go beyond the ordinary teva. So let's go back to this pasuk again. Nasata l'reyecha neis l'hisnoseis mipnei koshet sela. You have given the ones that fear you a banner to wave high in order to proclaim the truth of the nisyonos that have tested our faith And in the past, we have passed those nisyonos. Let's hope we can pass those nisyonos again. But koshet can also imply a decoration, like a tachshit, an ornament, jewelry. Either way, if we react to these challenges, if we react to these nisyonos by living our lives with God, by facilitating peace versus divide, by displaying our faith in God, this will be a banner of truth or a banner of the koshet, of the beauty of Am Yisrael that will be broadcast to the nations of the world, that we are a nation that remains strong and principled despite the challenges. Mipnei koshet. Have we not seen these beautiful ornaments this past year and a half? The ornaments of truth. The banners of the Mesiras Nefesh of one Jew for another, the banners of the incredible donations of time and money to those that are impacted by the war in Eretz Yisrael, the Sifrei Torah that are brought on the war front, the determination of many soldiers to learn their Daf Yomi while at the front, the public prayers and Tehillim that are said before entering battle. This is our modern Nes Lehisnoseis. And we fight other battles, not just on the battlefield, as we well know. We have seen heroes emerge from personal tsaros with their banners of bitachon and emuna waving high. Whether it's a hostage that manages to somehow keep Shabbos well into captivity, or it could be the simple, unassuming person that you meet in the grocery store, who has his or her own battles with illness, with family strife, with loneliness, with waiting for children, with waiting for shidduchim, but still manages to put on a smile and be there for others. He or she wages a war which adorn that person with jewels and ornaments. But these banners and jewels are not displayed publicly. They are in the recesses of his or her heart, for God only to see. Nes lehisnoseis. These challenges are given to us, and ultimately, we ask Hashem to rescue us. We may not see the final resolution, but the resolution may be something that comes in a later generation. The resolution may be the improvement to our neshama, unseen or detected by us in our lifetime. But we say in Pasuk Vav, L'man yechotzun yedidecha, hoshia yimincha v'aneni, so that your beloved ones will be released, save with your right hand and answer me. This is what we say at the end of Shmona Esrei. The word yechatzun can imply being released, released from the oppression or tsaros, or it can mean armed and ready, as in Parshas Matos, nachnu na'avor chalutzim lifnei Hashem. We come across the word in Rosh Chodesh benching when we ask for a month of chilutz atzamos, and on Shabbos in benching we say ritzev hachlitzenu. So getting back to our pasuk, therefore Hashem, either yechaltzun, release us from the oppression and the golos and the grip of the enemy, or alternatively, yechaltzun, save us so that we can be fortified, give us the strength to deal with the golos and our challenges. The intent of the pasuk really doesn't change. But if we think of yechaltzun as armed, we can say that we are asking to be armed with the necessary tools to deal with any adversity we may encounter. We need tools of spiritual fortitude, we need emuna, we need tools of wisdom, we need the tools of wise and skilled people to help us in whatever journey we are on. And today we are not necessarily going to see open miracles, but give us the tools of wisdom to see the miracles within nature. Save with your right hand. The right hand of Hashem is a signal of strength and of Hashem's attribute of mercy and chesed. When we suffer, it seems as if Hashem's right hand, the one that is symbolized by chesed, is hidden. Reveal your right hand so that victory from our enemies will arrive. From the perspective of David battling his own wars, as we said, he is looking into the future. If he is speaking of his current situation, the battles are actually part of the preparation for the building of the Beis HaMikdash during Shlomo HaMelech's time, since before building, there needed to be no threat from enemies. So David ends this parak with the acknowledgement that any military victory that he will achieve or any successes that he will have is only due to Hashem. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, Havad lanu ezras mitzar, vishav teshuas adam, grant us your help against our enemy, because the help of man is absolutely worthless. Be'elokim nasechayil, v'hu yavus tzarenu, because only through Hashem we shall have strength, and he, Hashem, will trample our enemies. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmos, Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II She'eris HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.